Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to begin today with the latest study about all the benefits of exercise. It's hardly new that exercise is good for us, but this one suggests that it also helps us live longer and helps us figure out precisely how much longer.
And let's be honest, for many people, after a long day at work or maybe at home taking care of the kids, which is real work, mustering the time, the energy, and motivation to exercise can be a real challenge, even though we know that exercise is good for us and makes us feel better.
But what if you knew that exercise could also lengthen your life? That for every hour you exercised, you'd earned 7 hours of extra life in return. Would that provide a little more motivation to get going?
Well, that's the subject of a new study from the National Institutes of Health and a recent post from the co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, Carrie Goldberg, who joins us now. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Anthony.
So the idea that exercising is good for us isn't exactly a news flash, but you found out that every minute of exercise can actually lengthen our lives with a pretty impressive return. Tell us how we find this out.
That's right. On average, you can possibly get back about 7 minutes for every minute that you exercise. The study that this number came from did not determine exactly that. It was a major study that looked at more than 600,000 people over 10 years, and it was looking more generally at longevity and the level of activity, the level of your exercise, and trying to see what the effects of exercise might be.
So how much exercise is recommended for the average adult?
So the federal guidelines are that the average adult should aim for at least 150 minutes a week. And I know that's a lot, but these are the guidelines of moderate exercise, which is, you know, sort of brisk walking and above. And it can be less if you do strenuous exercise.
All right. So what does that mean? How does that translate with a person over 40 years old who does that 150 minutes a week? How much longer does he or she live?
Right. So Dr. Ai-Min Lee from the Harvard School of Public Health and Harvard Medical School helped me with this math. And what she figured is that if you start exercising at age 45 and you die at 78, that means that you've been exercising for 33 years, 150 minutes a week. Now stay with me here. That means that you would spend 4,290 hours exercising, which is 179 days of exercise, which works out to less than half a year. So that's half a year, but you'd gain almost 3.5 years on average of lifespan. So basically, you're getting a 1-to-7 return.
Okay, Carrie, stay with us, because joining us now is the lead author of the study. He's Dr. Stephen C. Moore of the Division of Cancer Epidemiology and Genetics at the National Cancer Institute. And Dr. Moore, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello, Carrie. Hello, Anthony. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Now, Doctor, earlier studies have looked at the relationship between longevity and physical activity, but no one has directly analyzed levels of activity and life expectancy. How did you go about trying to do this?
What we did was we pooled together a number of different population studies, five from the U.S. and one from Europe. These are participants who had reported their physical activity level on a questionnaire. They'd also reported their height and weight and some other health information, and they were followed for a period of about 10 to 15 years, and so we could see how the physical activity level that they reported initially corresponded to their later mortality rates.
You also found that, among other things, that some activity, some exercise was better than no exercise, regardless of how old you are or how overweight you are, right?
That's correct. So we compared everything to people who do no leisure time physical activity. That is, they might, say, get out of their car and walk from their parking lot to work, but they don't do any deliberate or intentional leisure time activity. So that's our reference group. And then those who did a little bit of leisure time activity, equivalent to maybe about 10 minutes a day of walking, they actually had a gain of about 2 years of life expectancy.
Now, this kind of calculation, or what Carrie calls a parlor game, at a certain point, it's not going to continue to deliver a result. In other words, we can't just keep exercising and expect to keep living more and keep living more and keep living more, because that would suggest that we could live forever, right?
If we exercise nonstop.
Yeah.
There is a point at which the gains taper off, but there's no point at which you start losing life. So I would say approximately at the level of about 60 minutes a day of walking. That's the point at which the gains start to taper off.
Dr. Moore, a bit of the criticism that I got, and you know, I acknowledged from the get-go that this is really just playing with numbers. It's just averages. It's just approximations. But nonetheless, the criticism from a couple of readers was that, classic criticism of studies, correlation does not prove causation. So just because these people who exercised lived longer doesn't necessarily mean that it was because they exercised. And yet, it does seem like a reasonable assumption because we know that exercise is good for you in hundreds of ways. So how would you respond to that?
I would echo your exact sentiment, which is that we know already from other studies that exercise has a number of different health benefits. It lowers the risk of heart disease. It lowers the risk of a number of different types of cancers. It lowers the risk of risk factors like high levels of cholesterol, high blood pressure. Given the total constellation of evidence, not just my study, but the total constellation of evidence, I think we can say it's pretty certain that a high level of physical activity does extend life expectancy.
Hmm. So is that really the takeaway here? I mean, again, we've known for a long time that exercise is good for us, but this is just one more set of data that make that point.
The key for my study was the quantifying the benefit. So in other words, it's one thing to know that exercise has a benefit. It's another to know how much of a benefit. And this was especially striking for the people who did just that very low level of activity, just 10 minutes of walking per day compared to somebody who doesn't do that walking. That'll give you about 2 years of life expectancy. That's an impressive gain.
And Anthony, I would just add, in terms of personal motivation, I have to say it really helps me to know that every minute I exercise, I get several minutes back, because it can be awfully hard to squeeze exercise into a day. And so knowing that, in fact, this is time that will come back to you, for me, helps me go out and do it.
And doctor, I think also to add to what Carrie is saying, it's not just a question about extending your life. It actually extends your life with good years or better years, right?
Right, exactly. So that's one of the great things about physical activity is that, yes, it extends your life expectancy, but it also extends the high-quality years of life. And so when we think of this as adding, say, 3 or 4 years of life, you shouldn't think of it as adding life onto the end of your life. You should think of it as adding life onto the prime years of life.
So, Carrie, how are people reacting to this study and to this blog post?
Well, the post actually has been shared more than 1,000 times on Facebook, which makes me think it's people trying to help each other get out there and exercise. And it's gotten mixed comments. Some were like, yes, this makes total sense, and it's nice to have this number to hang my hat on. Others were more skeptical. There was one commenter who wrote, yeah, and next week they'll say a little chub is fine and too much exercise is bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 1 week wine, 1 week coffee, 1 week it's all good. The next week Mediterranean, the next week Greek yogurt. And I understand people's frustration with all of these different health studies that seem to contradict each other. But I would say, and Dr. Moore, you should correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like at this point, exercise being good for you has the level of data backing it up as smoking being bad for you. Think that's fair?
Yes, I would say that's fair. In other words, the magnitude of effect might be a little bit different, but the actual evidence for a link between physical activity and life expectancy is beyond doubt.
Well, Dr. Stephen Moore, thanks so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
Thank you very much.
That's Dr. Stephen C. Moore. He's the lead author of a study regarding longevity and physical activity. He's based at the National Institutes of Health and part of the Division of Cancer Epidemiology and Genetics at the National Cancer Institute. And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, thank you as always.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, will this new information get you off your couch? You can find a link to Carrie's piece at our website, radioboston.org.
Well, first it was several inches of snow overnight, then a brief pause from the precipitation this morning, but now stuff is falling again, at least in some places. Joining us with the latest on this late winter storm is meteorologist Mark Rosenthal. Hi there, Mark.
Hi there. I like your description of stuff.
Good. So earlier in the day, the talk was about where that rain-snow line was. Where is it
exactly
now?
Well, you know, the fascinating thing was, of course, we started off as snow, and then we went to a mixed bag, and then, excuse me, we went to all rain in Boston for a number of hours. But now the temperature has fallen in a big way, and snow has moved back into the greater Boston area. Temperatures have fallen very close to freezing and below within the 128 belt. And that may make for a very slick ride home, and certainly overnight tonight, with temperatures falling back into the 20s, everything's going to ice up.
And so what does that mean for tomorrow morning and maybe through midday tomorrow?
I think we'll be fine. I mean, I think the morning drive will be fine. They'll have a chance to get out there overnight with salt and sand and plow. And don't forget, it's late March and things warm up very quickly. Let me just say this, if I may, just in terms of snowfall amounts, Reading, Massachusetts, 11 inches, 10.5 in Pepperell. Even Quincy, south of Boston, 10.8. Milton, 10 inches of snow. Rockland, 10 inches of snow. Out in Worcester County, close to a foot. Officially at Logan Airport, they had 7 inches of snow, while Brookline, Newton area got 8 to 9 inches of snow. So the forecast, I think, worked out pretty good. I hate to pat myself on the back, but I got to tell you, I was a little nervous this morning, going 6 inches or more, and then up to 6 to 12. And everybody got in between that range, 6 to 12. Yeah. So the forecast worked fairly well.
I think everyone's in agreement that it is best when the forecast is as close to right as possible.
Well, let me tell you, one day follow me around and go through the process with me, and you'll roll your eyes.
Well, meteorologist Mark Rosenthal, thanks as always.
Thank you very much.
And still to come on the program, coming up on the day Pope Francis delivers his inaugural Mass, what can we learn about his namesake, St. Francis, that might help us understand the new Pope? I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.